Yeah. There's a whole slew of them. I guess that's how you say it, a whole pack. Anyway, I'm glad we don't have curtains back there, because some of them would be climbing them probably. But anyway, look at the twins. They're all dressed up in church today. Amen. Good to see them girls. Good to have all of you. Hey, back up here. Eyes up here. Okay, they're out the door now. Eyes back up here. Shouldn't have mentioned them, should I? Everybody, I almost had some broke necks in that deal. Anyway, God is so good. How we used to describe stuff, He's so stinking good. Have you ever said that? That is stinking good. Well, God is, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but that's just how we talk sometimes, you know, and God is good. And He's certainly here today. The Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit is here today in service with us. How many suspect where I might go today? If you paid attention, you'd know. So how many paid any attention lately? Well, I know you would. And Romans the 12th chapter. And we'll pick up where we left off last week. I didn't give them any scriptures to go with. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, Caleb, is all we got. There's so many verses that I'm going to probably touch on as I go very quickly. I didn't write them down. I mean, there's like 40 or so probably. And so I got to go really quick with them. And I've got them all down. I'll read them, and we'll move forward, okay? I might skip some of them. That way he won't confuse him. But anyway, Romans the 12th chapter says in the King James, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's one of the few verses in the Bible I actually have memorized. And after this many years, I ought to have a lot more, but understand, that's one of my favorite verses, go along with Romans 8:28, you know, or, yeah, 8:28, I think, yeah. Anyway, never mind, I won't try that one. But the Word of God is still rich, isn't it? So very rich to us. So we've been talking about the first verse, which is present your body a living sacrifice. We talked about that extensively last two Sundays. And so, you know, which is total commitment, dedication to God, which God expects, and anything less is probably sin. He expects us, if you're a Christian, to be totally dedicated to Him. Come on now, totally dedicated to Him. Do you have your life? Absolutely. Do you have other activities? Sure. But God expects you in every activity, every area of your life, to be dedicated to Him and show that you are dedicated to Him by the way you live. To be an example to those outside of faith and those within the faith that you are a real Christian. If somebody could say, call your name and say, oh yeah, they go to that church and they're faithful. And you know what? They're the same at church as they are over here. That's a true sign of a Christian, when you're the same outside of church as you are in the church, in the way you act and speak and treat people. People say, that's a true Christian. Does that mean you won't ever have a letdown? No, I didn't say that, because we all do have some of these, not a letdown, but a meltdown every now and then. Have you ever had a meltdown as a Christian? Yeah, we all have at one time or another. So that doesn't disqualify you, okay? I hope y'all understand it. We preach grace around here. That won't disqualify you from being a Christian. It might be something you have to ask God to forgive you for, but it doesn't disqualify you, okay? Well, we used to be around these groups, but everything you did, it was disqualify you, and you had to start over again. Well, no, you don't start over again. You start where he's at and keep going. Repent and keep going. Confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So he didn't speak that to the sinner. He spoke that to the church. So we do that. So we talked about dedication to the Lord. Now today, we'll go to the next verse. Verse 2. And be not conformed to the world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Renewing your mind. So we in this world, it says, be not conformed. Well, you understand we're being threatened day by day by this present evil world. We're being bombarded with different things. It's all around us. You can't turn on your TV without being bombarded with something that's ungodly. Whether it's some program you might choose to watch, or just a commercial that comes on during the program that is watchable or reasonable to watch. Some commercial comes on, they're trying to sell you some kind of alcohol, and they're using sensual pictures to try to get you to drink. Whatever, soap. Whatever it is they're selling, they try to take whatever they can to get your attention to cause you to want to buy their soap or their drink or whatever it is they're selling, whatever they're peddling at that time. So we're being bombarded constantly, but the Bible tells us don't be overcome by worldliness, but be conformed to God. Don't be conformed to the world, but be conformed to God. That's God's will for us. He wants us to do that. That word conform comes from the root word that which means to fashion the outward form or the appearance of a man. He doesn't want us to look like everybody else or act like everybody else. Our appearance, how many realize that your appearance, whether you believe it or not, has changed since you were a baby? Actually, your appearance changes day by day and week by week. And year by year, you won't look the same a year from now as you look right now. Most of us will probably have a few more wrinkles. The bags under our eyes will be a little larger. The hair on our head will be a little thinner, and possibly quite a bit grayer. Things change in our life. Our appearance changes. But God doesn't intend for our inward man to change or to regress in its changing, but to be changed and renewed day by day by Him. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you got saved, your inward man began to grow and change. You can't see it. I can't see my inward man, my spirit man, but he got saved. My outward man continues to die and to change day by day, and so should my inward man, but it should be changing from glory to glory, being changed and transformed to a better man, a better person than I was last year or even yesterday, because we're growing up in grace. So although we change, we don't look like we used to look. Our outward man changes daily. I mean, you know, every day I get up and I have to comb my hair a certain way. You don't want to know what it looks like when I get up. Depends on how I slept or how much I wallered around on the pillow during the night. You know? And anyway, never mind. I won't go there. I'll leave that alone. So, the Bible tells us not to conform to the world or worldliness, into the world itself, or the things of the world, or the pleasures of the world. He wants us to be perfected in Him. You see, the heavens, the world includes the heavens and the earth and everything in it. It's aging and it's deteriorating and it's dying and it'll pass away. It does. It's going to die. This world's passing away. Even as we speak. You know, the doomsday clock was turned, I think it's 2 minutes to midnight now. They moved it up another minute. They expect this world to dissolve or to destroy itself at any moment. They do. The scholars and the pundits, they expect it to dissolve at any moment, to destroy itself. Nuclear weaponry is on the rise, and the world is getting crazier and crazier by the day, and we're fighting a war on terror, whether you believe it or not. It's there. It's there. It's all around us. They've infiltrated nation after nation. It could happen in our state next. We never know. This world's destroying itself. Wickedness is getting worse, and the Bible teaches us to not be conformed to this world or this world's way of thinking. So some people think this world's going to last. It's not. It's not going to last. And even if it was to last, you're not going to last. Say it lasts another 1,000 years or 10,000 years. You're not going to make it to the end of that. And there's a lot of us here nearer the end of our life on earth than we are to the beginning. Let's just face the facts. And so I must make preparation for the end of my life rather than the... I didn't make any preparations for the beginning of my life. Somebody else did. But I have to make preparations for the end of my life, and that is to make myself and present myself in a fashion that God will say, well done, when He calls me home. And to do that, I can't be conformed to the world. I have to be transformed every day. So there's some things that we need to understand. This world has... There's the spirit of this world. And in the spirit of this world, there's selfishness, there's greed, there's anger, there's hatred, there's bitterness, there's ungodliness, there's savagery, there's division, war, deceitfulness, suffering, conflict, ignorance, deterioration, death, sickness, disease, cursing, pride, disorder, and decay. How many want some of that? I read something the other day. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I think there'd be less people sinning if they'd get paid sooner. Something to that effect. Do you understand? If we get paid daily instead of at the end of our lives, there'd be less sin. If we had to pay for it as we go. Because see, people say, well, I'm going to live till I die and I'll make things right with God before I go and, you know, it'll all be all right. No, you don't know what God's going to do, what might happen to your heart, how hard it might get. You might die instantly in a car crash or have a fatal heart attack and not even have to have time to ask God to forgive you. Don't think about that, do you? You just get so busy living your life that you forget that I could die at any moment and meet God. And how you live is how you're going to die, and that's how you're going to meet God. I know, this is a downer. It's a bummer. We had all them great songs, and now here you go. You're just, I'm going to die? Yeah. So the rapture doesn't take place, you're going to die. And you better be ready either way to meet Jesus. That's all. Just get ready. I want you to be ready. So I'm going to preach hard stuff sometime. Try to get you ready. So this world, 1 Corinthians 7:31 says, this world passes away. It's passing away even as we talk today. You see, 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We look at the temporary, what we get, and stuff we get's wearing out and growing older and tearing up and, you know, our houses, get a nice house. I got a new house in 1976. It's not new no more. You know, we had to update here a while back. You know, at 1976, my wife really likes yellow. But that yellow kitchen needed some updating. Not only was the appliances wore out, they were ugly. So we updated. 20 years from now, what we updated to and we liked so well, we'll need updated. But we'll be so old, we won't care. I don't care what it looks like. Does it work? You understand? This world's going to pass away. And the unseen is forever. It's eternal. We need to prepare for the eternal, not the temporary. Pastor, you're saying I should never do anything in this life? I'm not saying that. We got to live life. You do things while you're living life. That's okay. You live your life. But you don't get so caught up in living your life, you forget that this life is temporary. That's the point I'm trying to make. It's temporary. So prepare for your eternal life. That's the most important thing. You see, the Bible says I can't see where it's at. I think it's 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye ought ye to be in holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look to such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot or and blameless. It's all going to dissolve one day. We got to be look to him and come to him with a pure heart and clean hands and make ourselves ready for him. There's a lot of other things I could say to that, but I'll move on because I have a lot of scripture to cover. And so we're not to conform to that, to this, the fashion ourselves after this world. We're to conform ourselves differently. We're to act differently, speak differently, look different than the world does. They ought to be able to look at you and know you're a Christian. So I don't mean you got to put on a certain adornment, a certain way to dress, but just something about the way you conduct yourself. You dress properly. You don't dress ungodly or sensually. You can be nice looking without dressing trashy. Let's put it the way, you don't have to dress trashy to be a beautiful person. And men, we don't have to go around, well, ugly looking either. Come on now. You understand what I'm saying? We don't conform, we don't work and live like this world. They need to see us and know there's something different about them. There's something different about them. They're dressed nice. It can't be that. It's got to be that inward beauty that's making its way to the outward by the way you conduct yourself and the way you talk and act around people. It's important that we don't get to acting like the world. I mean, somebody cuts you off, Todd, you hadn't ought to be lifting up your hand and waving at them with that certain wave. You understand what I'm saying? There's a certain wave. You can't do that. That kills your witness. You probably hadn't ought to speed up and get on their bumper and honk at them either. Back off. Say, the Lord bless you. If you're going to say something, say it to your wife in the car. You're going to call them an idiot? Don't wait, roll down your window and stick your head out the window and wave at them and call them an idiot, okay? They need to know we're Christians, folks. Whatever it is we do, they need to know we're Christians. We're not to conform to this world. Fact is, 2 Corinthians 6:17 and 18 says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. He told his children of Israel to do that. What'd they do? Moses was up on the mountain. 40 days. The glory of the Lord all around him. And they come down, they'd made a golden calf. They'd just got delivered from Egypt not very many days before. Had plundered that country. Took gold and silver and fine linen and everything they wanted. God delivered them with all their needs. And they say, well, Moses has been up there too long. Maybe he's died. Aaron, we need to worship. So he made them, he said, well, gather all your junk, bring all your trinkets, we'll melt them down, we'll make a calf. He made a golden calf, and they began to dance and play. And aren't we the same way? Here's God's done all this stuff, and God's blessed us, and we don't feel a blessing. We just all of a sudden we decide, well, we're just going to play a while. After what God's done, what's God done for you? He delivered you. He brought you from darkness into his light. He saved you to the uttermost. He cleansed you and washed you and made you whole. He made you a new creation in him. And instead of honoring that and coming out from the world, we instead go ahead and indulge in what the world has to offer. Sort of like the Israelites. All through their history, they'd make mistakes. But what I'm glad about is I was thinking about that today when I was praying. The Lord always showed them grace. Now, he did some things. He had to do some things. He had to get their attention. But he'd show grace. Fact is that when Moses come out the mountain, God said, I'm going to destroy them. They're finished. Moses, oh, hold on. And how would you like to try to do that for them? Instead of say, yeah, Lord, do them in. Because Moses, God said, I'm going to destroy all of them except your family, Moses. I'm going to destroy them all. Moses, hold on here. You can't do that. You're God. Now, how would you like to be God and have Moses tell you you can't do that? Say, whoa, hold on just a moment here. I am God. No. God says, okay, I hear you. I want to hear what Moses pled with God. God, don't destroy them. They're your people. They're your promise. You promised Abraham. You delivered them. What's all these other countries and people going to think if you brought them out here and destroyed them? Your name wouldn't be much, God. God says, you know, you're right. But he showed grace and mercy. I know I paraphrased that right then, but you understand he showed grace and mercy. And because Moses stood up and pleaded, actually fell, he pleaded for them on their behalf. God, you can't do it. You can't do it. Now, he wasn't arrogant. He wasn't arrogant about it, but he pled their cause and their case before God. And God tells us, and yet we go right back into it sometime, and we're not to fashion ourselves after the world. 1 Peter 1:14 says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. As obedient children, not fashioning yourself in your former lust when you were ignorant. Before you knew. Now you know. Now you know. So we don't continue doing those things. Let me move on. Got too many scriptures there. I told you I have a whole page full of scriptures right there. That's good, isn't it? I can move on. And he says, so we're not conformed. So he says, have a transformed mind. I know it's difficult. It's hard sometimes. But we're to have a changed mind, a transformed mind. It means to be transformed. It means to morph into something different than what it was. See, you once loved the world, the things of the world, participated in the things of the world. But once you got saved, now your mind is changed. Now you don't love the world nor the things of the world. Now you don't participate with the worldly things, the ungodly things, the sinful things. You don't do that now. You make every effort on your part not to be a sinner. You make effort. You don't say, well, I'm saved. I can do what I want. I have a good friend. He died several years back, and he's first man, best man at our wedding, and I love this man dearly, and I'd go visit with him before he died. I knew he was a drunk. He was an alcoholic. And it's been 10, 12 years ago. It's probably been longer than that now that he died, probably 15 years ago. He's probably 45 or so, and I'd go visit with him and talk to him, and I said, man, you got to straighten up. You got to get saved. And he said, man, I am saved. You know, he's had multiple wives and multiple girlfriends and was living with one at that time. I said, man, no, there ain't no way. There ain't no way you're saved. Yeah, I'm saved. If I die, I'm okay. I was baptized when I was 12. I said, man, that don't make no difference that you was baptized when you was 12. Yeah, but I got saved when I was 12. I was baptized into a particular church, and I'm okay. I said, man, you're not. Yeah, I am. I couldn't convince him that he wasn't saved. At the very least, he's backslid. Come on now. He's living like the world. The Bible tells us to come out from the world. The Bible teaches us to be transformed. The Bible teaches us not to partake of that evil any longer, and he's continuing to partake of the evil. And my friend died. I go to his funeral. Some of the first words out of the preacher's mouth is, he began to quote John 15, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you. And he said, Joe's in heaven today. I know for sure he's in heaven today. How do I know that? Because in 19 so-and-so, Joe was 12 years old. Joe asked Jesus to forgive him. And Joe was baptized. Joe made it to heaven. He didn't follow the word of the Lord. I want Joe to be saved. But I can't stand here and tell you, you can continue to live for the devil, continue to practice sin, and be a Christian. I cannot tell you that. I do not believe that so. I believe I can walk out of this pulpit and begin to do anything I want to do. And if I believe that, I could do what I want. I could preach to you one thing, walk out of this pulpit, go do whatever I want to do, come back every Sunday and preach to you, and I'd be okay. But you wouldn't allow that, would you? It wouldn't be right. I didn't want the man to go to hell. I tried to visit with him. I went several times to his home. Let's talk, man. Didn't want to hear none of that. Might want to talk to Glory Days when we was in high school, when he first got addicted to alcohol. I didn't want to hear that. But I look back, and I thank God that my folks were good Christians. And somehow or another, God put a hedge around this old rebellious teenager. And I didn't get addicted to alcohol or drugs. And when I got saved, I got saved. I quit my sinning. I got saved. So the Bible teaches us to do that. You see, men basically are selfish, self-centered, self-seeking. That's what men are. Centered on this world, centered on their flesh, and centered on this life. That's the world in a nutshell. That's what the world does. But we're Christians. Our outlook is different. The outcome of our life's going to be different too. Our eternal destination will be different. It's worthwhile being transformed, having your mind changed. You see, man might change clothes. It's kind of like this, you know, the very nature of being a real man or a woman is that it's an inseparable part of you. When you really get saved, your transformed mind is a part of you. You might change. It's like getting up in the morning and putting on your work clothes, and you go to work and you get dirty, but you come in the evening, you're going to go out to eat or go to a show or whatever it is you're going to do. You don't normally wear those same dirty clothes. You'll change. May shower, clean up, put on some clean clothes. Well, we may do that every day. You know, we do that. We're the same man, though. Although we might change our clothes, we're the same person inwardly as we were when we put on the clean clothes. Because we have a new person inside of us. The man inside was transformed and changed, and he's to transform himself and be conformed to the ways of God, not the ways of the world. Have a transformed mind. I'm the same man at 61 as I was when I was 14. But my inward man changed. I've changed a lot of clothes in that many years. Wore out a lot of shoes and boots in that many years. Had a lot of different cars in that many years. Till my wife shut me down. I got that from my daddy. So I got a lot. I got blue eyes from my daddy too. I like them. I won that girl with them blue eyes. And my brilliant personality. Y'all that know me know that ain't right. So man's minds are corrupt. It's own corruption. It's corrupt. It's corrupted by selfishness and sin. It's vain and it's empty and it's futile in its imaginations. The Bible says in Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Man's mind has become reprobate. I'm a Christian. I don't want to have a reprobate mind. I shouldn't have. My mind's transformed. It's changed. It's like Christ. But man has a reprobate mind. It says in Romans 1:28, again, it says this, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which were not convenient. Come on, read, y'all read scripture once in a while. Because they didn't honor God, because they did not retain God in their knowledge, they were given over, turned over. Well, we've got a God in our minds. We have transformed our minds. So man's mind has become carnal and full of enmity against God. It says Romans 8:28, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The carnal mind cannot follow God. It has to be transformed. Your mind must be renewed. You can't do it in your own power. You can try to be a good person. You might make a lot of changes as a good person, but you can't really be that person that you need to be without having a transformed mind. The Word of God says your mind is not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. That's what it says. Then man's mind has been blinded by Satan. Unless it would accept the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them and to their heart. So you see, well, why can't my loved ones get saved? Because the God of this world has blinded their mind. We got to pray for them, that God's light will shine into them. But right now they are blinded by Satan. And then man's mind is full of vanity, futility, and emptiness. Man's mind is focused on earthly things. And can't you see that? Recently I tried to witness to a couple, I've witnessed to more than that, several people. We had a young couple that I was acquainted with for a while and still acquainted with them, and I tried to get them to get more faithful to church, and finally they started just missing more and more, and now they don't come at all, and I'd call them and say, man, what's going on? Oh, I got to bail hay this week. Well, I'd call them next week, what's going on? Well, I got softball this week. Well, I call them and say, well, when are you going to come back to church? Well, you know, cheerleaders this week. Had all these little kids and all these activities, and he had a farm and a ranch and a full-time job. And man, I can't go to church because on the day I'm off, I got to bail hay. And when I got to get cows up and I got to doctor them. And then I got to take the kids to cheerleading practice. Well, the other girl's going to softball. First one thing, then another. And pretty soon they're not in church. Is there anything wrong with doctoring your cattle? No. Anything wrong with feet and bailing hay? No. Anything wrong with cheerleading? Probably not. All these other activities? No. But there's something wrong with all of them. If they get in the place of your service to God and you can't even take time for God, then something not sinful becomes sinful because it takes the place of God in your life. That can be any number of things. Good things, wholesome things, but when they take the place of your worship of God, they become sinful and they have become a snare in your life. Be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, things that you didn't used to like, you now like. Things you didn't used to do, you don't want to do them. You want to do them now. Things change. Man's mind's fleshy. Man's mind has become defiled. It's very important that we do that. So our mind is to be renewed by the presence and the image of Jesus Christ. See, in our lives, when we get renewed by Him, things change. Everything's different. I see things from a different perspective than a worldly guy does. I get up in the morning, my life is different than somebody that doesn't know Christ. My weekends are different than a person that doesn't know Christ. My Sundays are drastically different. At one time, I could count on one hand in 15 years how many times I missed church. And I could tell you exactly why I missed church on those days. First off, my water line broke on a Sunday morning. Well, I'm going to go dig that water line up and fix my water. It's running off down the hill. I got to fix it. So I went and dug a ditch. I'd a lot rather been in church as digging up a muddy water line. I'm telling you now, let me go to church. Somebody else can fix the water, but no, it's my water line. I got to fix it. And the next time, the same thing. Another water line broke. Something to that effect. I don't miss church. I'm going to be really sick, or there's going to be some disaster, or there's going to be a death in the family. There's going to be something big to keep me from church. That's my thinking. That was my thinking before I was a pastor. I don't miss church. I do everything I can to not work on Sunday. I go home after we get through here today. I'll go home and I won't do nothing. I'm going to go out and throw a bucket of feed to my calves, because I want them to get fat. So one of these days I can eat them. That's all I'll do. I'll go out there and look at them calves, throw them out a bucket of feed, talk to them a little bit, tell them you're sure going to taste good. Well, that's why I name them hamburger and T-bone and stuff like that. They ain't pets. Then I forget which one's which. Don't matter. They're both going to go into the freezer. My point is, my days are different than a person, and your days should be too, than a person who doesn't know Christ. Your focus, your thought life, everything's different. Because your mind has been transformed and changed. It's been renewed. You're a spiritual man. When you met Jesus, you become born again. You were made into a new man. You were made into a new creature. You give your mind, you're now given the mind of Christ. His mind now is in you. His mind and the image of Christ is in you. We love the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. Everything changes. Everything's different. We love Jesus. And because we love Jesus, we take the rest of our life and we make it revolve around our love for and our service to Jesus Christ. Everything changes. And that's good. That's not just preacher talk now. That's laity talk. Everything changes in our life, and everything about our life should revolve around Jesus Christ. Thank you, ladies. Gets quiet when you say stuff like that, because we want to continue. We want to be a Christian, and we want to be in a safe haven. We want to be under the rock. We want to be, you know, where we can have all the blessings of God, but sometimes we don't want to conform to God's way of thinking and His way of doing things. And I'll tell you what, it's a good life living for God. And I tell you what, I don't do anything because I have to anymore. I do it because I want to. You say, well, if I do this, I have to do. If I serve Jesus, I have to do this. No, you don't have to do nothing. Things all of a sudden change. Your mind changes. Your thought life changes. You say, well, okay, ain't such a bad deal after all. I'm not really missing nothing. And I want to tell you something. Maybe you have to give up something you really like. You have to give it up for the next 50 years. How does that compare to a million years? And then you've just begun eternity. You mean I can't do that for 50 years? So what? If that's what it takes to get me to heaven, why wouldn't I want to give it up? Maybe it's not even really sinful, but yet God has spoke to you and said, you know, that's kind of a hindrance to your relationship with me. Why don't you give it up? Yeah, but so-and-so can do it. Yeah, but it's not a hindrance to him. It's not bothering his relationship. You're consumed with it, whatever it might be. It's not a big deal to him. He can give it up, but to you, it's consuming you, so you got to give it up. Well, what's that still in the balance of eternity? Isn't it worth it? This is a temporary life, ladies and gentlemen. You're not going to live forever. But if you serve Christ, you're going to live eternally. You're going to live eternally regardless. I'd rather live eternally with Jesus in heaven. Maybe some of you would prefer hell. You wouldn't? Well, perhaps we need to think about this a little bit better then. You know what I've been doing, preacher? No, I don't, but God does. I'm not following any of you around, trying to catch you doing anything. That's between, oh really, maybe I should follow you. That's between you and God. So be not conformed, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're to prove what's that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Prove. That word prove means so that you can discern what is God's will. So that you can discern what is good. So you can discern what would please God. So you can discern and know how to focus on God. That's what that word means. So you can focus on God. Be not transformed, be not conformed, but be transformed so you might prove or discern what's the acceptable will of God. So you'll know it. Some of us don't know what God's will is because we haven't renewed our minds. We're still walking carnal. It's the truth. We've got to get past that. And you can do it, ladies. And gentlemen, you can too. I know y'all can do it. I know you can. And most of you have. But all of us need challenged once in a while. So I'm not necessarily saying you're all doomed and you're all making mistakes and none of you are transformed. None of you been renewed. I'm not saying that. You might all be right where you need to be. It doesn't make me a difference this morning. What makes me a difference? I'm going to challenge you. I'm challenging you to stay that way. So I didn't need it. I'm okay, Pastor. Good. Stay that way. Stay that way. I want to encourage you to stay where you're at. Actually move forward in Christ. But not move backwards. Not go back. You got to go forward. So God wants to bless us. He wants us to think on good things. And I'm going to have to hurry. Actually, all right. We're right there. So we need to transform our mind. Let me just read my scripture again. Verses 1 and 2 of chapter 12 of Romans. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. How many is going to do that? Well, okay. Let me ask it a different way. How many will try to do that? Okay. That's a little better response. I actually saw two of you raise up and jump on your hands. Like, not me. I'm not going to ask you to come to the altar and pray through right now. I want to encourage you, challenge you, to do exactly what the Word of God says. Somebody said, well, I'd really like to be used of God. Start there. You read that scripture, you go on in, it talks about spiritual gifts. You go back over 1 Corinthians, you'll read about spiritual gifts. You got to be sold out to God, have your mind in tune with God before God can really use you. You want to be right with God. And that involves transforming your mind. Is anybody sick in body this morning? Do you need prayer?